think about the consequences. We're going to talk about the consequences when we're not intentional in our lives. You think about the consequences of the decisions that were made at the beginning of this nation that led ultimately to the Civil War. Over 600,000 killed during the Civil War. We lost more Americans in the Civil War than all the other wars that we've been involved in.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. It's the beginning of Randy's Overcoming an Intention Deficit. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. We're going to focus on what I'm calling an intention deficit disorder. Not attention, but intention. We're going to talk about the difference between intention and goals in this series over these next 3 days. Love to hear your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Just before I move over to our teaching studio and begin this series, by the way, I'm going to be teaching my staff and visitors. You may hear me writing on the whiteboard as I'm going to just be in the teaching mode today and for these next 3 days. Hopefully it'll be very, very instructive for everyone. Just before we do that, however, a reminder that this Friday, can't believe it, not tomorrow, but Friday night, we begin the Intentional Love Marriage Conference in Midland, Michigan, and then Sunday night in Jackson, Michigan. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. My wife, Donna, and myself and our team looking forward to it. Boy, if you don't have your tickets, please get them and come on out. We want to meet you. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Come and laugh and learn. Have a great date night with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, to the teaching studio and to today's series. No surprise, I want to talk about intentional living. Going back, though, and just thinking about what we try to teach with intentional living, and one of the little slogans that we have used over the years is we talk about live today, right? Which is really short term. In other words, how we live today, what we do, the decisions we make, our attitude. We want to live today the way that we want to become tomorrow, right? Which is going to be long term. And I was thinking about where we are as a country. I think about some of the things that are occurring in our country today. And it's scary not only for the short term, but for our intentional living message. If we're living today the way we want to become tomorrow, it's a pretty scary thought. And so I think and I believe that the message that we're teaching, that what we believe, is that God's intention for us is to live today the way that He wants us to become tomorrow. And in the process, that's going to make all the difference down the road. You think about where we are as a nation today. I was thinking a little bit over the last couple of days about the history of this country with everything going on in America today. If you go back to the Revolutionary War and you realize that during that process of the Revolution, there was the birth of a new nation, the nation we live in today, the United States. And in 1788, after the Constitution that we are under today had been written, it had to be ratified by at least 9 of the 13 original colonies for it to become the law of the land. Now, it's hard to get our hearts and minds wrapped around what those founding fathers were thinking and what they had to face back in 1788 to get that ratified, the Constitution that we're under today. But one of the things that they did not deal with in 1788 when the Constitution was ratified was slavery. And obviously, there were some states that allowed slavery, promoted slavery, legalized slavery. The founding fathers were facing a dilemma of how do we get this thing ratified when there's some areas of the country supporting slavery and some areas not. If you ever read the Constitution, you'll see in Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution that while they never, the founding fathers never used the term slavery, they put a provision in our Constitution that permitted slavery to continue in those states that were had slave owners at the time that the Constitution was ratified. And what was happening when we think about it, from an intentional living standpoint, our founding fathers were kicking the can down the road, something that was a significant issue that we know it is sin, and we understand the what slavery has done to so many people over the years and in this country, and the impact that we've seen even today in a nation. They also wrote in that article, if you read it, that they said in Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, not only could slavery continue, but it could not be prohibited in those states where it was legal at the time until 1808. In other words, they put it 20 years from now, the people of that generation could deal with this issue. That's basically what it's saying. Now, they never used the word slavery, but it was that provision in the Constitution that allowed slavery to continue. So in 1807, knowing that this was about to be the point in history where slavery could be dealt with, the Congress of the United States passed a law that said no new slaves can be brought from Africa to the United States. But they did not outlaw slavery. So in 1808, the law of the land was new slaves couldn't be brought into the country, but slavery was still legal in the United States. So the number of slaves from 1788 until 1808 had grown by huge numbers, you can imagine. Slave traders bringing in and increasing the number. And so in 1808, the Congress of the United States kicks that intentionally, that can down the road, right? Until the Civil War of 1860s, and Abraham Lincoln, of course, signs the Emancipation Proclamation, and we get the 13th Amendment to the Constitution that rightfully outlaws this absolutely sinful thing of slavery. But by that point, from 1780, when there were a few hundred thousand slaves, to 1860, where there were millions of slaves in the United States. Now, why do I say that? What does that do with intentional living? Many of us have what I'm calling intention deficit.
You're listening to Intentional Living, and Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue his teaching.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
There's not a more unlikely hero in biblical history than Mordecai.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
Here was a man who didn't have anything, not even a country. He was a humble Jew living in exile under the Babylonians. He did one thing, though, that changed everything. He adopted his orphaned cousin Esther, and through a series of miracles orchestrated by God, Esther became a member of the royal family, a position which enabled her to save the Jewish people from destruction. When Mordecai adopted Esther, he didn't know what lay ahead, but he raised her as his own, loved her, and his faithfulness established an eternal legacy. Maybe you, like Mordecai, are just the person God wants to change the life of a child through adoption. Investing in others, it's the greatest act of radical stewardship.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. Now let's get back to the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center, where Dr. Randy continues today's teaching.
Many of us have what I'm calling intention deficit. You know, we know what attention deficit is, right? When we have an inability to really pay attention. But I think this is even a more serious potential disorder, an intentional deficit disorder, that allows us, and here's my definition of what an intentional deficit is, it allows us to kick the can down the road in our lives. An intentional deficit is an inability or an unwillingness to act on a good intention. And in our lives, I think we all face this. What the definition is really either I'm not going to be intentional, or I feel like I don't have the ability to be intentional and act on good intentions. Well, we all know what a good intention is. It's something that's good. And for a Christian, it would be something that would glorify God. Now, when we think about our founding fathers, if they had stood up and dealt with this issue, think about the consequences. We're going to talk about the consequences when we're not intentional in our lives. You think about the consequences of the decisions that were made at the beginning of this nation that led ultimately to the Civil War. Over 600,000 men and women were killed during the Civil War. We lost more Americans in the Civil War than all the other wars that we've been involved in. And so when we think about our own lives, when we choose to kick the can down the road to the decisions in our life and the way we live and the things that we do, the reality is we're going to pay a price for that at some point in the future. Frankly, some of you are paying a price right now, perhaps from a family member from a previous generation that had an intention deficit. And instead of acting on doing the next right thing or being intentional in their life, they were unwilling to do so. And as a result of that, there's a consequence that you're paying in your life. Now, when we think of good intentions, we think of procrastination. If you know the little box that we teach, the little matrix of intentional living, the quadrant of good intention is the quadrant of procrastination. 95%, according to research, 95% of us procrastinate. The other 5% are liars. You know, that's. We all procrastinate in some areas of our life. That's just a reality. And many times the procrastination that we have, not that serious. It doesn't really affect us long term. There's just things we procrastinate about that we don't want to do. But at the same time, there are things that we procrastinate about or we're not intentional about that can have serious ramifications in our life. 20%, according to research, 20% of us are chronic procrastinators to the point where it's really affecting our lives. It's impacting our ability to function, get things done, and be contributors to our family and society. 57% of students interviewed said that they like procrastination. They like the rush associated with procrastinating to get things done the last minute. That's what I would often do when I was in college, waiting until the last minute. I still do that now. Waiting until the last minute. There's a rush, isn't there, about waiting to get something done at the last minute. We know that through this process of good intentions not acted on, procrastination, it affects our sleep, it affects anxiety levels and depression, OCD, many other things that can become a problem in our life when we choose or we are unwilling to act on a godly good intention in our life. And in the process, it creates a serious problem. What I'm saying here is that a good intention equals a good idea plus inaction. You know, to get up in the morning and stand in the shower is to have a good idea. We all have good ideas. All of us think of things that we need to do, want to do, or important to do. We glorify God. We read the Bible. We hear a sermon. We go to Sunday school. We read a book. We hear a story. We come to a chapel. We leave and we think, hey, that's something I need to do. People come to the conferences and say, I'm going to focus on that next right one thing, and we know probably half will stop doing so after a day or two. And so we all face this in our lives. It is a serious problem that can really affect us. And so a good intention is really just a good idea plus inaction, where intentional living is a good idea or a godly idea, plus commitment, plus action. Now, what I want to talk about for a little bit today is going a little deeper over the years as I've been thinking more and more about this word intention. Why is this such a big deal to us as a ministry? And I'd like to share with you why I think it's a big deal to us as a people, as a nation, and certainly as a ministry. The real process of intentional living is very straightforward. We start with intention. We'll talk about that in a moment. We go to goal, having goals. We know goals are powerful. We know all the research about goal setting. People who set goals, even if they don't write them down, tend to be more productive in life, accomplish more than those who don't. That's pretty straightforward, common sense. Turning goals into action, which is an action step, a process, actually acting on something. And the ultimate step in this process of intentional living is to develop a habit, which is important to us. Intention is the why of life.
You know, you have to answer the why question. It's a big one in life. We do a lot of what's and how's in life, but if we can't get the why straight, the why is where the motivation, that's the intention. We're going to have more on this topic of overcoming an intention deficit disorder next time from Intentional Living. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, I talked with a man who had a very successful business, but God really moved in his heart. He was asking the question about why and how he went through that process and what changed for him. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Just before we do that, however, again, I want to remind you, because we're right on the cusp of this great weekend, our Intentional Love Marriage Conference weekend, Midland, Michigan, and Jackson, this weekend, Midland and Jackson, Friday and Sunday night. And tickets are available at our website. You know, some of our conferences coming up, we got several this fall, have already sold out all Gold Circle seats and almost sold out all tickets. So I encourage you to get your tickets. I want to see you. Midland, hey, we love Midland and Jackson. Looking forward to being with you. And I hope you get your tickets today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
The way I live intentionally each day for my health is I apply the second commandment to my life. Love yourself as you love your neighbor, and if you're not taking care of your body, then you don't feel good about yourself, and how can you feel good about anybody else if you're not feeling good about who you are? I exercise 4 times a week. I have 4 children, and I feel much better today than I did when I was in my 20s. I eat pretty much what I want, but I cut out things like soda. I don't drink soda at all. I don't eat candy, and I try to avoid fast food at all costs, unless it's a special night, we'll do pizza or something like that. But that's about it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for sharing your testimony with us. Your stories matter a great deal. You can share yours today, either a story or a question, when you call 888-888-1717.
My name is Deborah, and my one thing would be to change my attitude.
My name is Michael, and my one thing is to listen to my wife much more closely.
My name is Katarina, and my one thing is to respect my husband.
My name is Jeff, and my one thing is that I'm going to pray for my wife every morning.
My name is Jill, and my one thing is to just talk positively. Talk about what Dr. Randy said about our speech, our words, and to remember who I am in Christ.
Let me ask you, what one thing could you do in your marriage, in your relationship, to make it better than it already is? Hey, I got an idea for you. It'll be the Intentional Love Marriage Conference series. It's a date night for couples for Arizona coming up in early November, end of October for Albuquerque, and this weekend for Michigan, Midland, this Friday, just a day after tomorrow, Midland, Michigan, Friday night, and then Sunday night in Jackson. Get your tickets. We're going to have a fantastic time, but the clock is ticking, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. Make it a double date. Bring some other couples with you. I promise you're going to laugh. You're going to learn. We have a lot of fun. My wife's going to be with me. We're going to enjoy it together. So Get your tickets at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Hey, right now I want you to hear from a man who at age 38 found himself running a very successful business, but he wasn't feeling fulfilled, wrestling with the why question that we've been talking about. His name is Pete Walsh, and he now has a family business in leadership coaching. Pete, tell us, by the way, welcome to the program, Pete. Tell us a little bit about how you got to this point of business coaching in your life.
In 1997, I was at church with my wife and kids, and at the time, I had recently lost two brothers and two best friends, and I was beginning to understand that life was short and precious, and I was really frustrated in my role in our family's 80-year-old business. And the sermon that day was about finding your special gift. And I prayed in that moment and said, help me find what mine is because I know I can hit a home run for you. Those were my exact words. And 3 days later, I was at lunch with a friend of mine who owned a construction company. And she said, our coach said this. And I said, your coach? What's that? And she said, somebody that helps us develop our plans and hold us accountable. And I said, you're kidding. That's a job? I mean, that's what I love to do. We had 300 employees. I was responsible for 150 of them. I didn't realize at the time, but I was a coaching leader. And so my life turned on a dime. I went home and told Karen, I said, you're not going to believe this. But, you know, Sunday, the sermon was about this, and I prayed, and I just heard about coaching, and I really think that's what I'm supposed to do. She said, okay. And I hired a coach. I love the work that we did. And I asked Karen if I could start over. I said, I really think this is what I'm supposed to do. I've been called to do this. And so I went to my family, and I resigned my position. And they were kind of in disbelief. They said, you're going to do what? And I said, I'm going to go be a coach. And so I left, and I started knocking on doors and finding coaching clients to coach in corporate America. I'm really in the leadership development business. And about halfway into that career, you know, about 7 years later, some folks said, you ought to come work with family businesses. And I said, no, I don't think so, because that's really painful. There's a lot of challenges there. And they said, no, you know, there's some people that focus on helping families, financial planners, estate planners, and you ought to check that out. And so I met some of those folks, and they introduced me to their family clients, and it was beautiful. It was like I had been away long enough that I had some perspective. And so now I work with family businesses all over the country and all over the world. And, you know, I get to say to mom and dad, hey, give this kid a little bit of room. And I get to say to the kid, hey, maybe you ought to listen a little bit because there's a lot you can learn from mom and dad. Randy, you talk about intentional living. The work that I do is really to help people get focused on what's most important. And then I use the sports analogy a lot. So I teach people how to practice communicating and practice setting a vision and practice giving each other feedback and a showing appreciation so that they can become a great family and a great family business.
I know one of the things you do, Pete, is peak performance coaching. Give us the top two or three things that a person or a leader in a business, family or otherwise, can do to develop higher levels of performance for themselves and their business.
Yeah. I like to call it becoming a reflective practitioner is one of the number one things. I work with people on self-awareness, mindfulness. So, you know, performers, athletes, think about what they're going to do. They perform, and then they review the game film and see how they did. So one of the things that we do is help them become reflective practitioners, learn how to review and get better. And then the other thing, excuse me, is setting goals. You talked about that earlier this week, setting ambitious goals and goals that are, you know, pursuing a dream that's worth following. So many times in coaching, we'll really help them stand back and say, where are you going? Which is, again, back to your intentional living, is like, where are you going? Because so many of the folks, Randy, get caught in the day-to-day hustle and bustle that coaching is really gives them an excuse and a process to step back and say, what are we trying to accomplish? What are our goals for this, for today, for this week, for this month, and for this year? And then, you know, coaching helps hold them accountable.
Well, Pete, this has been good. I appreciate you joining me here on the program. By the way, Pete Walsh is the author of Coach to Win the Leadership Game, and a very practical coaching manual will be helpful for you. And you can find out more about Pete on our website when you come to theintentionallife.com. Thanks for being with us today, Pete.
Hey, Randy, thank you so much. And, you know, we have a lot of free tools at the Family Business Performance Center that we love to just give to families to help them do better. And I so appreciate you making the time and the difference you're making, and I hope our paths cross again in the future.
My name is Sheila. One thing I do to live an intentional life is when my alarm clock goes off in the morning, sometimes I just groan and think, I don't want to go to work. I want to stay in my nice warm bed. And then I make myself think, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what I do. That's my story. I hope someone else can be encouraged by it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's your story, and you're sticking with it. And I think you should, because it's a reminder that whatever things are right and pure, admirable, praiseworthy, of good report, think on such things. I wish I had said that first, but it comes from Scripture, Philippians 4:8, my life verse. Very, very practical. Hey, listen, we're going to continue this series on overcoming an intention deficit disorder on tomorrow's program. And if you have a comment or a story to share, call us at 888-888-1717. I want to say thanks to all of our members. God bless you. Your financial support is just, you know, I can't tell you how much we appreciate it, because it allows us to do this. If you're not a member, come and join us. Your monthly support for the Intentional Living Center, funded separate from the radio station, allows us to do this every day. And when you do, I want to send you a thank you gift. It's our new member kit, which is including two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, along with our One Thing wristband. It's a way of saying thanks. Join us today. Go to theintentionallife.com. And again, a reminder while you're there, we have the upcoming Intentional Love Marriage Conference series beginning this Friday night in Midland, Michigan, and then Jackson on Sunday. Tickets are available right now for couples. It's going to be a fun, practical, helpful evening. Just go to theintentionallife.com. TheIntentionalLife.com. Click on events. See you next time from the Intentional Living Center.